Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Our next guest is... Macca, I'm feeling very honoured about our next guest. Our next guest has written very extensively about issues that are very dear to our community.
Yes.
We've got Robert Desay on the phone, who's here to talk about his latest book, his 10th book, in fact, Time of Our Lives. Good morning to you, Robert.
Good morning to you. Thanks.
Great to have you on the airwaves.
Thank you.
We've never spoken before, but I have... I've read a number of your books, and I've also heard you and seen you being interviewed on a number of occasions. So it's great to have you on the airwaves and to be able to speak with you this morning. So
I'm happy.
Tell us about your latest book. What prompted you to write this? Because it feels like it's very much a reflective piece about the point you are in your life now as an older man.
Well, it is. But I hope that it's buoyant. I hope that it's not depressing. It started when my partner Peter's mother fell over. And so the first sentence to come into my head was the sentence, Rita fell over again. And many of the people listening will know the force of that sentence. When someone old falls over again, it changes everything. And I follow in the book just in four sections. The demise of Peter's mother. I watch her die. And this leads to thoughts about what is difficult about growing old, what perhaps can't be remedied about growing old, but also about the consolations. And that's why I've called it The Time of Our Lives, Growing Older Well, because I think there are things we can do to help us grow older well. Death comes at the end, and I think we have to face this very openly and as much as possible with good humour. But there are consolations, and particularly for the sort of people who are probably listening to this program now, I think that there are definite joys that are unavailable to us when we're younger. Isn't that weird? But I think it's true.
Now, Robert, it's Macca here. I have to say I've also enjoyed many of your books, and I believe this is actually the first interview that you've done on your new book. Is that true?
This is the first live interview I've done.
Fantastic.
So I'm nervous.
Oh, look, don't be. You're in... Tass and I are definitely the target group for the book. You know, my father had a saying that you shouldn't diminish old age. It's a privilege that may be denied you.
Yes, nice saying, Macca. Well, nice saying.
Yeah. So, look, I think, Robert, one of the challenges, you know, so you've written about this experience, and a personal experience is always very powerful because it actually directly informs and influences what you write. I see, and this is a little bit left field, political parties often talk about, you know, senior Australians, mature Australians, older Australians. And from time to time, you see politicians visiting aged care facilities, or you know, other facilities, you know, in search of the seniors' vote. I wonder, does society really value seniors, or are we, as a society, just paying lip service to it? Particularly when we see what's happened in aged care. But is one of the goals with your book, Robert, is to make people actually think more about growing old and potentially the challenges and opportunities that presents for everyone?
Well, exactly. I don't think that the old, and of course particularly the elderly, are valued at all. I think that Tony Abbott's recent statement about the aged costing too much money to keep alive during this epidemic make it quite clear what certain of our politicians think about the aged. We are not productive, you see, in ways that they understand, in ways that they have been taught to think at university or wherever they've learned how to think. We are not productive in that sense. Of course, we're productive in all sorts of other ways, in the ways that we love, in the ways that we make friends with other people, in the ways that we make people's lives worth living. But we're not productive in a monetary sense. Therefore, many people now, a surprising number of people, people I thought I could trust, think that the aged should be left to die. I think, actually, that this is something we have to fight more actively against. I think that we should live in a society, well, I would like to live in a society where everyone, regardless of their age, whether they're 3 years old or 97, is helped to live a good life as long as they want to live that life. And that's important, that final bit of the sentence, as long as they want to live. I don't want to live in a life where people are encouraged just to sit back and die because they're not producing enough goods for sale.
Robert, we're almost out of time, but I've got to just ask you one more quick question. What are your reflections on the current aged care service system here in Australia, especially in the light on the, and on the back of this COVID-19
disaster?
Well, some sections look after people very well, I think, but the problem is loneliness. The problem is that old people don't really want to be locked up with old people. My whole book is about finding a different way, a more villagey way, so to speak, for people to grow old in the context of. I think that the present way that we look after people when we're old isolates people and leaves people, and I have quite a lot of experience, feeling desperately, sometimes hysterically lonely, not good enough.
Look, I thank you for writing this book, Robert, and I encourage people, you know, to buy it. I know that you're taking part in the Melbourne Writers Festival, and you know, this is going to be one of the books that's featured. Look, thank you for giving us your time today, but also, you know, it's your 10th book. I admire people who can write books, and particularly books people want to read. I think that's a big challenge. So thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for bringing this matter up. And as I say again, I encourage people, you know what? Books only exist when people buy them.
Yes.
That's true.
Go out and buy it.
And there are parts of it that will particularly interest a gay audience, I must say.
Yes. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Pleasure.
Hi,
good morning to you. Good morning
to you. That was Robert Desai. He's part of the Melbourne Writers Festival, but a member of our community, but also written a very important book about...
And Macca, we've debated this whole idea of living in villages rather than living in, you know, these sort of homogeneic, you know, horrible environments.
Yes, I know.
We can do better. We must do better.
We must.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.